what's happening. Fourth hour hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio is upon you. It's upon us. We're blessed to bring it to you courtesy of All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. AllFourSeasonsGarages.com is where we want you to go to learn more. They're doing some awesome stuff with garage doors. Mm-hmm. It's a really cheap way to up the value of your home, make your home look fresh and new. You can have it you can have a garage door, clear one that leads directly into outdoor living. There's a lot of stuff you can do. They'll help you find a way to spruce up that spot. AllFourSeasonsGarages.com.
And most times, Jay, if you are redoing your house, that's going to be the first place they start at, too, the windows. Let's get these knocked out, literally, and put some new ones in.
Mm-hmm.
And had I known what I know, I don't think my house is suited for paint. Oh, you know how you paint it white with the black windowsills? I love a house, Jay, with the black windows, man. Although some people say, you know, it can, you know, fade and stuff. I love the White House black window look. It looks, when we shop for your new house, Jason, we're going for that look, okay? We're going for that. Me, you, Abby, and the baby. And Shafe, you want to ride with us too, Shafe, while we search for Jason's new house? That was a thumbs up? Yes. So when you start to look for your new home, Jason,
yeah,
you will do that with us.
Sure.
Okay. I just needed you to say yes on air so that we have witnesses.
I kind of missed what you said, but sure.
Yeah.
I agreed to it.
It's all good. Yep. Yep, that's all. That's all we needed.
Getting professional emails during the show, it's never good.
Yep.
Because it pops up and it's like, hey, trying to host a radio show here.
Did you get fired or something?
No, didn't get fired. Okay, okay, not today. Okay. Sorry, Andrew.
Sorry, Andrew. But yeah, I don't know why I always go to that. I go extreme.
You
know,
I get it.
Like, don't do drugs and stuff like that.
I learned it by watching you.
Yeah, yes. What we get for watching shows like The Wire and, you know, Peaky
Cocoa Blinders.
Cocaine Melon.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule One Crack Drug Melon.
Ordering a Bluey stuffed toy for CG.
You said you were looking at a professional email. Now you lied.
Now I already had that put up. No, I've got the email right in front of me.
He said, now I'm ordering a Bluey stuffed bear. And I was like, you said you were looking at professional emails. He lied.
I was looking at you looking at housing stuff here about 30 minutes ago.
No,
I got it. I got an email. It's right here.
Why are you ratting me out?
Because our program director likes to send stuff during the show.
You ratted him out, so I ratted you out.
Shafe.
You snitched.
Oh, my.
You snitched on him, so you know what you just got? Stitches.
You know what? Let's do this show.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, you know what was next.
Teron Davenport, Tennessee Titans 53-man roster projection. Revamp passing game takes focus heading into camp. Anything stand out about this? I mean, we're not going to go through all 53 guys. There's no real reason to do that. But
it's interesting, though.
I think the wide receivers are interesting.
Yeah.
Robert Woods, not a shock. NWI, not a shock. Treylon Burks. Dez Fitzpatrick. Racy, who's been hurt.
Yep.
And Kyle Phillips.
Yep.
So, not mentioned there, Josh Malone.
Mm-hmm.
Or Mason Kinsey, who we talked about last week and discussed a little bit.
What do we kind of say about Mason Kinsey? About 2 weeks ago. He's got to do something extraordinary this year to stay on the roster because of Kyle Phillips. And I just think that's a fair assessment of just the progression of being in the NFL.
Kyle Phillips does not have size, but he's got speed.
He's got wits about him.
And he's got effort.
Yep.
No question about, not that Kendu doesn't have effort.
No, and the other part, he's younger.
Yeah.
The problem is, you look at that wide receiver core.
Yeah.
That's thin.
Mm-hmm.
That's even thinner than last year.
Well, last year they weren't thin. They had all these guys. Remember, so all you heard is how many dudes they had. And the question I had was how many of them were quality guys.
Well, that was the thing. They had a lot of dudes that were wide receiver 4 to 6.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so let's look at it then. All right. So Woods, he's a 1/2, but he's really a 2 at this point in his
career,
probably.
He'll lead first with this group.
Yeah, he probably will. Westbrook Akina is
deserving.
2/3. He's a 3 on most. Yeah.
He's a
most competent roster. He's a 3.
Which he was very solid last year. Can we say the steadiest of the group, not named A.J. Brown? Even
he was more available than anybody.
There we go.
Treylon Burks, you drafted him to be 1. This year, that's asking a lot. I don't think that happens.
Yeah.
But I think they'll get the opportunity there. The asthma set him back a little bit. There's not really anything else to say. We just got to watch and see. He's a very young player. Dez,
I ain't got a clue either.
I don't know.
Other than the fact that he's a recent draft pick.
Him and McMath both. McMath's more of a special teams guy.
So are they your...
And so is Phillips, right? I mean, Phillips is a receiver, but Phillips is also a potential punt returner.
You got Traylon, Robert Woods, and Traylon as your wide receivers. Aside, I mean, throw Phillips in a spot as far as the slot goes, Jay. You know, of those three young guys that we're looking at, later draft pick guys, that's the way I kind of see this one.
There's only two guys on this team with a track record at all, and that's Robert Woods and NWI. Yeah. Everything else is an unproven commodity, a rookie, or somebody that was taken as a fairly late round draft pick.
Dez was so far behind.
Yes.
Yeah.
And got better and saw some action. How much of a jump do you think he can realistically have going into a second season?
All of it's speculative because we just don't know.
That's exactly right.
Well, see, it also comes down to throwing to a guy that's unproven in game-like settings. Like, that's the biggest issue with it. I think you feel better about Traylon Burks than you would about Dez Fitzpatrick or Rayson McMath.
That tight end is going to be so important.
Can I say this? Well, of course we can't. I feel better about the three tight ends that TD has projected to make this team as opposed to three wide receivers in this group.
Well, I mean, I think he's right about these three guys.
Well, yeah, they're
I don't know what you're going to get. I don't know what Okonkwo is going to do in the NFL.
You hope Jonnu when Jonnu was here. Actually, you hope better than that.
You really do.
But in terms of the potential and talent, that's what you're hoping.
I'm not pessimistic on it. I've just got a question mark. I just don't know. I don't know enough to say he's going to be this, he's going to be that.
Reports, we've seen that he's an athletic freak. We know he has the speed. We know he has the ability to catch. I feel probably jumping the gun a little bit, but I feel better about the continual role of Chill Okonkwo over Jeff Swain than I do any of the young wide receivers doing anything this year. I can almost see in Chig, depending on if he can learn the playbook and know his assignments and block slightly good enough to be on the field, that he'll make a big leap this year.
Well, look, if you get Jonnu out of him, then that's a win. That's an unqualified, unquestioned win if you can get Jonnu's Tennessee production out of him. And I think you could be right about that. And we know what Swain does and what he doesn't do.
Yeah.
Hooper's the one. Like, Hooper is the one that everybody is talking about that is watching camp and watching practices and listening to what's said. And they need him to be what people are saying he might be.
Mm-hmm.
And Tannehill definitely does.
What if you almost get a secondary receiver out of Okonkwo in a sense? Because he's long and lean type of guy, has good speed again. And I think his range, like, if it's anything of like Jonnu down the middle, you got some. But you also got that in Austin Hooper, too.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say this, but I'm taking this tight end group over the wide receiver group at this point.
I need to see Okonkwo on an actual field against other teams. I need to see what that looks like.
Even so, with Traylon having to prove himself a little bit and the potential that he could possibly have, Robert Woods coming off of the ACL and Nick Westbrook-Akina, again, playing a very significant role, but not number one-like in the sense of his production last year. Austin Hooper to me, Jeff Swain and Chig Okonkwo.
Well, Trump. All right, so here's the thing. Who's better, NWI or Jeff Swain?
For me to have a wide receiver versus tight end and have that much of a pause, I think that's an issue. I almost pair them side by side with given the amount of targets and what this offense is also capable of, too. What was Nick Westbrook-Akina last year as a receiver? Stretch and come back or stretch down the field and get a catch.
I guess I'm saying, who do you think is more valuable to the team? Jeff Swain
almost
or
Jeff
NWI?
Swain.
Really?
Jeff Swain. Me? I take Jeff.
I just think there's a lot of Jeff Swains out there. And then maybe there's a lot of NWIs,
but
too.
But in this offense is how I'm saying
my
that
point
by
is,
looking at the offense, too.
Yeah, right? The reason I asked that question is
be
like, you look at Woods and Hooper. Woods is coming back from the injury, but Woods has been a lot more productive in recent years than Austin Hooper has.
I go with NWI until he gets passed on the depth chart.
You go
that's,
NWI?
That's kind of where I am.
Over Swain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Until he gets passed on the depth chart.
I don't disagree. If Okonkwo is something, then I agree with you. The tight ends are stronger.
Yeah.
But I just need to see it, because the same thing you say about Burks, I can say about Okonkwo and Kyle Phillips and all those guys. They're all rookies that we don't have a sample size yet. We can just base it on what's being said at camp, and sometimes that can lie to you.
I think the step that Okonkwo's already had as far as being available for practice kind of pushes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is all relative.
Yeah, I mean, we're just having the discussion. All these guys are going to have the opportunity to move up and down how we feel about them.
Well,
we
see them in here's uniform. The biggest thing is that you want Burks and you want Chig and you want those guys to be much better in the second half of the season.
Yep.
And to develop and grow into those roles, and you want that offense really going by the end of the year.
Yes, sir.
If you can get that, if they can, of course, number one, stay healthy, because we can't take any of that for granted after last year.
Heck
but
no.
You get them going into the latter part of the year, then you might have something.
So that's the start. We'll come back. We'll talk about both. We'll talk about the trenches. We'll talk about the O-line, of course, the D-line, and where some of these other positions are stacking up in terms of what we're seeing from.
Too.
Yeah, we're gonna get into everything else in the longer segment when we come back and look at all of this 53 that TD has put out, and just kind of, this is what you do at this point. It's just look at it and say, here's what it could look like. A lot of O linemen.
It is 9 of them on Ross.
That's a lot of them. The way he's got it set up, no question about it. So we'll come back and talk about that. It's Jay Martin and Mo on 104.5 The Zone.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. So I watched this TikTok video during break that was linked in this article about Cocomelon. And the guy went through and he looked at like My Little Pony or something like that. And the camera would change like every 4 to 6 seconds to another image or to a different angle or something like that. You know, often Cocomelon on average shifts its shot.
Yeah.
Take a guess, Shafe. What would you think?
What?
If a show was designed to be addicting and overstimulating and things like that and become a cash cow, and if most kid shows are somewhere around 4 to 6 seconds, you'd see a shot change, right? What do you think Cocomelon would be if it were problematic and that was the argument you were making?
You'd think it'd be faster than that, so I'd say every 2 seconds.
1.5.
Yep.
It's like constant. It's Kevin Dunn.
Yeah, because you keep hitting the same part of your brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm going to try and make her forget about it while she's still young enough to not really remember it, and then we'll just move on. Why? Bluey?
Why, though?
Ordering a Bluey plush toy for you today, CG.
It's too much excitement for our eyes? Or?
It's designed to be overstimulated.
I mean, it's not good for anybody.
And it's designed to induce. And the thing is, and psychologists are saying this, Cocomelon in particular leads to ADHD. It's like attention deficit because you're trying to go for that stimuli at all times.
Oh, wow. Well, of course, we never got into that. Now I'm going to have one playing in the background just so I can see how quick the movement is, Jay. And you got me intrigued, man. Cocomelon. Okay. Back to this roster, I guess, right, at some point. Jay, that's interesting. I would have never looked into that, man, as far as what's what when it comes down to kids' cartoons. ADHD and everything?
Yeah. There's a lot. Look, there's a lot, man. You got to worry about the stimuli and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, 53-man roster. offensive line, 9 guys. Lawan, Jamarco Jones, Ben Jones.
Yeah.
Nate Davis, Dylan Radins, Aaron Brewer, Corey Levin, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Jalen McKenzie. They've got 9 guys. They got versatility, and that's what TD kind of points to, right?
A lot of it with these
Jamarco Jones can potentially move around. Now, if he's good at either one, I have no idea. I've heard varying things.
Well, he's played at both.
Right.
Brewer,
another guy, could play center if you needed him to. Levin, same way. So that versatility means you can keep more guys because they can fill more roles.
Yep. It seems to me, reading what Teron Davenport had as the starting right tackle, it seems to be Dylan Radin's spot to lose at this point. So you focus really on who's going to be the guard. Jamarco Jones seems to be the guy that's had the most just time. He's got experience in it also. Knows Vrabel, you know, as far as coming out. Vrabel was very high on him when they signed him, as far as saying, you know, had him at Ohio State and they got history together. It doesn't mean he's going to win the spot. But having him seasoned already, being in a system that was Seattle's. So he, you know, the run game comes first when it came down to Seattle football for the most part. This position is going to go down to who's going to be the nastiest in training camp and who stay healthy. That's where the way I'm viewing this. And boy, do they have that opportunity going up against this defensive line. The day-to-day battles of these three guys, man, when it comes down to Jones, Jamarco Jones, Aaron Brewer, and Corey Levin kind of says, beat out, what was the old Joker meme when he broke the pool stick?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of the way I view these three guys. I'll say this, too. When it comes down to Aaron Brewer, man, and you also got Ben Jones in front of you, it's got to be a succession plan for Ben at some point. If I would almost elect to have Aaron Brewer be your backup center specifically for the idea that he could be the succession plan for Ben Jones maybe next year if Ben decides to retire after this one. And I say that because you got to have a guy in place already that knows the system, that has experience. If he doesn't win the starting guard position, because I'm not counting him out, I almost feel like he needs to really focus in on scout team center snaps. He needs to focus in refining his steps, going right and left, his pass pro when it comes down to it for next year. Now, finding the first round center, it's hardly ever you find those type of dudes. You want to usually go get a veteran guy unless – they're in a position later in the draft to go get a center. But Aaron Brewer is in a position to where he can really make a point for himself, not just this year, but for next year, if Ben decides to tap out.
Yeah.
And he's an Iron Man, so I'm never going to deny Ben Jones
just,
at this point.
It's just how often will you need to have somebody else to play a possession or two, a series or two while he gets back, because the expectation is going to be he's going to be on his knee again a lot.
Yeah, you feel me?
Yeah.
And then this is the other half of it, too. And I think a lot of fans are starting to realize this also. The success of your team is based, I'm talking about a major chunk, aside from the quarterback, on your O-line and D-line. Now, if they got somebody in place already and they're, you know, kind of transitioning to this youthful side, you'll have Raiders at right tackle, Nate at right guard, Aaron Brewer next year at center. Okay, depends on how Jamarco plays or whoever wins out the spot, whether it's him or Corey Levin, or whoever the case may be, you got another young guy there too. But you also hinged this year on a lot of experience. Taylor, I'd almost expect Taylor to be back. He does need a big year though. We've mentioned everybody because Taylor has the position locked up. And you know, you'd expect a year after the ACL, he'll be a whole lot better from start to finish. So you get a mix of young and old with experience with this group next year.
Yeah, I still will say this. It's definitely the position that I'm most uncertain and concerned about this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because a couple of spots just, I don't know how I feel about it. Now, maybe we'll feel differently at midseason.
Yeah.
I don't know what Raiden's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do. And I know Petit Frere is raw. And there's a lot that he's got to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And this AFC is you better learn fast.
Yeah. And I said all that without even mentioning him a little bit, because I think they'd elect to go with a veteran on the inside as opposed to putting him at guard. Although if he can be a swing tackle, and they said he can play guard some too, I actually kind of profiled him when I was looking at him with Titans Radio. More of a guard like movements, but that's just me. Maybe he'll, you know, refine his play and technique a little bit better throughout the season.
D-line. TD has Jeff, DeNico, Tierre, Larrell Murchison, Naquan Jones. And he mentions that undrafted free agent Haskell Garrett could challenge Larrell or Naquan for a roster spot. I don't know anything about Haskell Garrett, so I can't really say anything there. I do know that Naquan played well last year.
Yeah, he did.
And Murchison did as well when he was available. But we already know that's a strength of this team.
Yep.
Up front, They're getting after the quarterback more, but they're causing ruckus. They're causing havoc. They're making it difficult on opposing offensive lines. It's a strength.
I think we asked Jim Wyatt about Haskell Garrett a little bit. And it was another undrafted free agent, too. We had him on about, you know, what's the projections of them? Just big body guys. They got them that are going to be nasty. If you're playing on that D-line, when you see your old heads practicing and playing the way they do, you will follow suit. This guy's out of Ohio State. He's played big time ball, just a young guy. We'll see how it looks, but he's going to push somebody, I think, for sure, as far as the roster spot goes. But that's a good look group.
Yeah.
And Larrell Murchison kind of gets looked over a little bit when it comes down to mention his D-line, but he's been steady as far as the role he's played.
Outside linebacker Bud Harold, Rashad Weaver, Ola Adeniyi. Adeniyi's going to play special teams, of course, too.
Yeah.
But he'll feature in both. Weaver, we all liked until he got hurt. He was still learning, but he showed flashes during the preseason. You liked what you saw out of him beforehand. Then he got hurt. Broken right fibula. He's coming back from that. If he continues along the path that we saw last year, he could be a monster.
Yep. Got the size.
Already know about Bud and Harold.
Yeah, Bud and Harold should do their thing. But again, it comes down to the fall off. As far as your starters going, I think they'll be good. And then the other group too, David Long Jr. can rush, and so can Zach Cunningham too. You know, I know we're going to the middle linebackers next, so I like the outside linebacker group. Young as far as Rashad goes, and Ola playing spot rusher will be well for this defense.
Inside linebacker TD believes 5: David Long Jr., Zach Cunningham, Monty Rice, who will be coming back from the Achilles, Dylan Cole and Chance Campbell. And Cole made a couple of plays last year, more of a special teams guy, and that's what he's going to be again. Chance Campbell, another depth piece there. Long, you know what David Long is.
A firecracker.
Zach Cunningham is unreal against the run. Monty Rice, I think he showed more flashes in year one when he was healthy than some anticipated, because the draft pick itself didn't blow anybody away.
Nope.
But, boy, it worked out better than Des Fitzpatrick.
Yes, it did, man.
I mean, the injury is the injury, but especially outside of that. Cornerback, here's the other real – this is the other question mark, big question mark. O-line and secondary are the two spots that, if they're not right, this team could suffer big time. Christian Fulton, big time strides last year. You expect that again.
Yep.
Caleb Farley is the second name mentioned. I know he wants to dominate. I saw that is the deal.
Yep.
I just need to see him play a season. I need to see him stay healthy and not be behind the eight ball trying to catch up, because I don't need him learning on the job in year two.
I can't have it. That year one to year two jump has to be going from dipping your toe in the water, Jay, to where you're diving in. It has to be. He wasn't afforded that time last year due to injuries. And he got to be available, period. Has to.
Well, TD has him stepping into a starting role.
Wow.
Opposite Christian Fulton. Elijah Molden as your nickel.
Mm-hmm.
And then McCreary screen and Chris Jackson. And we know what David Beauclair said about McCreary last week, saying, I expect him to take more snaps than Caleb, which we spent a good bit of time dissecting after the fact, because if that's true, that's bad.
It wouldn't trip me out, Jay, and I know he's an old head. And I hate to use that term a little bit on, but Buster Screen being 33 years old, I wouldn't be shocked if he started off the season, because I just don't know if I can trust Caleb.
I kind of agree with you.
You feel me?
It's just with Caleb. And again, talent galore.
Out of this world.
You love the kid. How do you not love Caleb Farley when you hear him or get to talk to him?
Yep.
Again, though, my concern, out the majority of last year, completely out in 2020.
Yep.
Last time he saw significant snaps was 2019 in college. It's 2022 this year.
Yeah,
it's 2022, plus you had the back, then you had the knee. You've had separate injuries. There is no one here in this room that doesn't want him to succeed in a big way.
There's a lot of questions there. Look, if we're going to dog out Dylan Radins for not playing football, right, and being behind, and if we're going to spend a lot of time as a country talking about Trey Lance and him not playing a lot of football, and can he be the answer, then we better be doing the same thing about Caleb, because Caleb's played, I think, less football than both those two guys.
He has.
And his injuries, they're all over the map too. Like he's got back issues, he's got leg issues, he's got I'm worried. Let's just say that.
And then it was documented too that he couldn't just. I mean, Vrabel said it last year. I put up the article from camp. He couldn't afford to put him on the field because he didn't want him embarrassing himself or getting somebody else hurt because the speed.
I remember us being. I don't remember the game, but I remember us being in just the three of us texting during one of the Titans games, and we all said Farley looks lost.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. And it wasn't his fault because he just hadn't played enough.
And that's fair. And we can say both of those things about him.
But that being true means he can't be on the field week one.
And that's why David Beauclair said you may see McCreary in there sooner and more often than you do Farley.
Right.
Which is not an indictment on Farley, but it is a judgment of the moment because of his lack of action and because of the injury history.
But to that point, Buster Skrine is the safer option.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who did play well for them last year?
He turned out to be a really good pickup.
Yes.
He was very similar to me in terms of just a pickup out of nowhere, like Vaccaro was a few years prior.
This is a comment coming in, which I don't want this for that kid, but sometimes you just get Greg Odom.
I know. That's right.
This is from our chat. Said Caleb Farley. This is just perspective. We're just throwing this out here as far as looking at it in the future sense. Caleb Farley may end up being the dumber of the two first-round draft picks between him and Panda if he doesn't pan out. Why? The signs were there about Farley. Panda came out of nowhere. And I think that's where he's hinged on right now. Going to go back-to-back in 20 and 21 as far as the draft goes. One you didn't know, but the other one you didn't know, he had a bunch of injuries. I mean, I hate to go back to this point, but he was sitting in the chair to the left of us, to the right of you the other day. How you go get? How do you go get Caleb? But don't go get a guy that actually played as far as Trey Smith goes. What was the separator?
It was because one is an injury you can heal from, and one is blood clots you might have to manage that can flare up. And I think that's mainly what it was.
Gotcha.
But I also don't think anybody was expecting Trey Smith to go in the first round. The problem was how many picks did John Robinson have where he could have taken that plunge on Trey Smith?
Yep.
Like, you can't tell me.
And we got a left guard.
Like, when they took Dez, I thought they were going to take Trey when they took Dez.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is going to be just such an easy pick. Same thing you're seeing if he were to fall right tomorrow.
Yeah, man.
You want to talk about a win for the Memphis Grizzlies?
Yep.
Kennedy Chandler.
Yep.
If they were able to make that happen, the way he is beloved in this state, even just 1 year at Tennessee, they loved him. He stays in the state. Goes and plays with Ja, plays with this young team that the fans are already starting to get behind.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things where things look like wins.
Yeah.
Trey Smith being on this roster last year felt like an easy win. And I know that's not necessarily the job, but I look back at that and I'm just like, gosh, that's a big miss. And I think a lot of us saw it in the moment that was an easy one you could have picked up.
So, yes, 100% of this one. And looking at another comment in our chat, it says, you know, you can't draft with complex back issues. Full disclosure, my brother Renardo, he tore his ACL in Louisville, okay, and ended up having a back issue directly after that because you overcompensate one side, body gets thrown off. When he went back onto the field, you know what happened? It's for the other ACL, Jay, because you overloaded the other one. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, just mine's way different. Yeah. Obviously, I broke my foot. Guess what's hurting me now? My lower back. Because I already had disc issues that haven't been repaired. My lower back. Between the broken foot and my daughter.
Yep.
I've got to watch my back. I've got to make sure I'm exercising it properly and you know, things like that. So, and that's from somebody who's not really an athlete, not at all an athlete.
But to throw that out there is if you got a back, unless you're fully on top of recovery and rehab and everything, something else is usually get tweaked. I know the old childhood song, your knee bone connected to your hip bone, all like it legitimately works hand in hand with this stuff. If my back was ever hurt or my IT band was hurt, it was because like my back or like my lower. Like it's wild on how one goes to the other. And you have a back injury. And I'm looking at it now and thinking to myself, my brother had one towards ACL too. Caleb Farley had one and tore his ACL too. Whether it made it weaker because of overload and trying to compensate, or it was just by chance. But sometimes they kind of line up together, Jay. as far as the history of those injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll come back and we will. We're gonna have Ink. He has sent us one of his newer pieces of audio. Mm. As that man is speaking everywhere right now. Not like that's a shock, or it shouldn't be. Byard, Hooker, Theo, AJ Moore, your safeties, by the way. Look, Amani is a rising star. Byard is already a star. Theo is a hometown product that everybody's going to be trying to root for. And then there's AJ Moore who can, you know, he can play, he can do different things.
Oh, and I think Theo could be one of those sneaky good depth guys.
Could be. I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
And then specialist Bullock who signed the deal. Kern, who we are getting towards the end of Kern's career, probably.
Yeah.
But not yet. And then Morgan Cox, who just didn't do anything that made you talk about him other than when he came on our show because he had a relationship and all that. But like, he didn't do anything wrong last year.
No.
So you've got somebody back that you can trust at that spot. We'll come back. We'll finish up the program, get you set up for tomorrow, and also Ink will give us some midweek motivation. It's Jay Martin and Moan, 104.5 The Zone. The Zone. Good stuff here. Finishing up the program. So it ain't Dad's week. Last week really wasn't either. At least not the restaurant I went to on Sunday. But it is Winning Wednesday here with 104.5 The Zone and our friends over at the Nashville Sounds. Caller number 5-737-1045. Pair of tickets thanks to the Window Nation. Ticket Window. See your Nashville Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers tonight starting at 7:05. Get some free tickets to the Sounds right now. Fifth caller. Just make sure you can go. 615-737-1045 to Jonathan Schaefer before the end of the program. Something fun to do this evening. Sounds is always a good time.
Mm-hmm. Stay cool. It is.
Like, I enjoy going. You sit on the old burn, just hang out.
On the old what?
The burn.
Oh, is that what they call it?
Burn. Yeah, like the little hill out there in Outfield.
Oh, yeah. Did not know that, Jay.
Yeah, but you get some tickets.
I'm itching to get back to it. I really enjoyed that stadium.
It is fun.
And they got enough cover also if you want to sit on the lower level where you can block the sun, man. Goodness.
Tomorrow we will have Sam Monson, a Pro Football Focus on.
Hey.
Right before Bleep You Aaron Rodgers at 8.
And coming after that, Heights.
And then Coach Mack. Okay. Yeah, we got to do Heights afterwards because if I say anything about short people, short people are going to come for me. That's all right.
Andrew.
You punch up and you still low blow me. Oh, man.
I'm with the Highland.
That's good right there, Jay. Way to go. I see you firing back towards the end.
I had to fight back.
Andrew was firing shots at
that. So, our friend Dickie Johnson, our brother.
Yes.
At the beach speaking this morning has sent along a midweek motivation for us to end as we always do on Wednesday, something to get you motivated and ready to go. And then Buck Rising will take over. We'll do it all again tomorrow. For Moan and Shafe, I'm J-Mart. Here's Ink.
I firmly believe anything great that's ever been done has been done through the vessel of another person. But oftentimes we live in this world and it's so transactional, right? A person can speak to you and they're not even waiting on a response. Most people, when they ask a person, hey, man, how are you doing? They don't really mean it, right? We live in this world. It's so transactional. Value people, right? You never know what God will do through another person. Value people. We went to a workout a Saturday morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. We get done, and we're driving home, and it's storming in Atlanta. And we're getting off on our exit, and we're coming up on a red light. And we're coming to a stop, and a truck comes by us, big truck. And it sends water our way, and me and my son, the truck shakes a little bit, and so I drive with one hand. And so when it shakes a little bit, I'll never forget feeling like, oh man, a little slight, little hydroplane deal, and it kept going. And so when it started to spin, I was like, God, no. But as it was spinning toward a retainer wall, and we were on a ramp. And I'm like, God, like, no, man. Like, if my truck hits that, me and my son were flipping over, and it's going to be a nice fall. And so the truck continued to spin. And I heard the Spirit saying to me, let go of the will. And I'm like, God, it's the only thing I got. But I heard the Spirit loud and clear, let go of the will, Ink. And I'm like, no, God, this is the only thing. If I let go, I'm going toward the wall. Right? Oftentimes in life, God is saying, let go of the will. Fortify your faith. Trust me, I got it under control. The scripture says it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Let go of the will.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.